originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I am joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at www.horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you are able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. Our guest tonight, he's a graduate of the Puerto Rican Jockey School, and he was a finalist for the 2013 Eclipse Award for Outstanding Apprentice Jockey. He lit up the board this past weekend in the Jockey Club Gold Cup with Discreet Lover at 45-1 and earning them a spot in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He has 21 graded stakes victories under his belt, total number of 997 wins and over $59 million in earnings. It's a pleasure to introduce jockey Manny Franco. Manny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christina. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing great, Manny, and thank you for joining us. And you have to be on a high after such a fantastic weekend.
Yes, I am. I'm very, very thankful and happy. We Discreet Lover, we both won the Jockey Club Gold Cup this past Saturday.
Did you have any idea that you were going to win that race?
Not really, but I always have faith on the horse because he always run good for me, and we finally did it.
Right, you won the Excelsior Stakes earlier this year with Discreet Lover, although he wasn't such a big price that day, but the other day he was 45-1 and paid out to those who bet him. And are you excited about the possibility of going to the Breeders' Cup with this horse?
Yeah, I'm very excited because the horse always right. The trainer is, man, he's a good guy. No, and I think they never be on this position that they are right now with the horse, and I'm hopefully the horse can make the Breeders' Cup and go there.
Now, at what point in the race, in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, at what point did you know you had the race won? Obviously, the opening fractions were blazing fast. I think they went 109 for 3/4, and obviously you just took your time with the horse and you came from off the pace. At what point did you know you had the race won?
When I passed the wire. Really? Yeah, because I know they were going fast in front of me, so I say if they came back, my horse, you know, my horse is a closer and he always give me his run on the end, so I thought I got a good shot, you know, when we hit to the first, you know, the first turn, the backside, they roll in front of me, so hopefully they came back to me, and they did, you know.
So you could tell they were going really, really fast up front.
Yeah, I can, yeah. When I saw they you know, run away from me early like that. I say, man, this guy going fast. I just hope, you know, they come back to me.
Well, and that's kind of what Uriah St. Louis, the trainer, had in mind, right? He kind of wanted you to take back and relax and just make one run.
Yeah, that was the plan, you know. Last time he ran Saratoga and in the Woodward, and he told me to put the horse a little bit closer, but he doesn't want that, and he don't run long, not good. So in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, I just let him break and, you know, leave it alone early, and that's kind of how he likes to run.
Yeah, it worked out, right? Worked out very well, Manny. Well,
yeah,
you're just having so much great success in really such a short time there in New York. As I mentioned in the introduction, you just started riding in 2013, and only in 5 years, you know, you're on the big stage and going to the Breeders' Cup, and it's just fantastic to see you having such success, Manny. And let's take a minute now to go back and to talk about the beginning. You're from Puerto Rico, and tell us what it was like growing up there.
I mean, I was in the school 2 years, so I got involved with the sport because my dad, he always kind of go to the track. You know, he liked horses, so that was the way I just get involved to the sport, and I love it. So
your family wasn't really involved in the industry, but your dad would take you to the racetrack to watch the races?
Yes, with my dad, yeah.
And do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I got 2 sisters and 1 little brother.
Do any of them want to be jockeys?
My brother, he say he want to be a jockey, but he's a little bit fat right now.
Oh, no. How old is he?
He's 10 years old.
So he has time. He has time to figure it out.
Yeah, he has time.
What about you? When you were 10 years old, what kind of a kid were you? Were you good at school? Did you listen to your parents? What were you like?
Yeah, I mean, I like all the sports that I can play. I listen to them all the time. I was a good kid.
I heard you.
But I really like to play every sport in the school, home. I just want to get, you know, playing everything.
I heard you were really good at baseball.
Yeah, that's what I played before I get to the school, to the jockey school. I played since I was 3 years old. Until 15 years old.
Why didn't you become a professional baseball player instead of a jockey?
Because I was small, and everybody told me, "Hey, you're so small." So, but I played good baseball. But when they told me that, so I kind of started like the horses, and I said, "Man, I can be a jockey." So. But I don't do that. And one day, I just told my dad, and we went to the school and everything. And that's why I became a jockey.
When you first started going to the racetrack and the idea first came to mind that you might want to be a jockey, or did you follow American racing at all at that time?
Yeah, when I started going to the racetrack in Puerto Rico, I kind of see every race, you know, in Puerto Rico and races over here in USA, you know. That way I started, you know, love the sport. Yeah.
Did you have any idea you would one day be riding with the likes of Johnny Velasquez and the Ortiz brothers here in New York? Did you have any idea you might end up here?
No, man. I'll tell you the truth, no.
And tell us, what was it like when you first enrolled in the Puerto Rican Jockey School? Was it hard for you? Did you have much experience working around horses?
No, in the beginning, you know, like everything, you know, you have to learn, so it was a little bit, you know, like difficult, but when I started doing it every day, every single day, so I started learning and the thing going, you know, better, you know, going much better every day. So, no, it was easy in the beginning, but then I started, you know, doing good.
What was a typical day like when you were in jockey school? Would you go to the barn in the morning? Would you groom horses?
Yeah, you got to do everything in the jockey school. In the morning, what you get at, I think it's at 6 o'clock. And then you got to go to the barn and, you know, do all the stuff with the horses, like groom the horse, wash the horse, clean the stall, and then They teach you do everything, you know, with the horses.
So they teach you horsemanship, not just riding.
Yeah, horsemanship, like, yeah. And then we go to the another set, like riding the horses.
And how long was it before you actually started riding?
Like, you gotta be like, you got to do every day, you know, because you're going to use those horses. So you got to do everything before you get on the horse, you got to be like almost like a year. And then you start get on the horses.
What was that like for you when you first started taking horses to the track, and maybe when you first started breezing horses? Was it scary at all for you, or you loved it so much?
Not at all, man. I love it. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So.
And who taught you there at jockey school? Who was your mentor?
Sorry?
Who was your teacher?
They have a few Puerto Rico long. So, the one of them is Camacho. That's one of the. She was a jockey, and Emilia Salinas, she's a girl. She was a jockey too from Chile.
And how many other kids were at the school?
We was like 10, something like that, 10, 11.
And how many actually graduated?
Edgar Sayas, he's in Goldstream right now. Victor Carrasco, he was the apprentice jockey of the same year of me. And the other one, Jevian Toledo, he's in Maryland too. And a few more.
So that's very interesting, Manny, because you were a finalist for the 2013 Eclipse Award for Outstanding Apprentice, and Victor Carrasco actually won that award. So
yeah.
That's kind of funny. You guys went to school together. How did you feel when he beat you? You had to be really competitive. But were you happy for him?
Man. I was so happy for him. I know he worked hard. We always talk, you know, and he was riding everywhere when he was a buck, you know. He was riding all the circuit in Maryland. So I was so happy for him too.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So after you graduated from jockey school, did you immediately come to the United States?
Yes, I was in Puerto Rico 2 months after I graduated. I was there 2 months, right there for 2 months. And in March, I jumped to USA and, you know, start riding over here.
Well, that's right. I did read you had your first winner in Puerto Rico, Skylight Citizen.
Yep.
Do you remember the race?
Yes, I remember.
What happened? How did it...
I ride with the with the old jockeys that in that race, that was the seventh race. I remember, like one. I was so excited that day.
Now in Puerto Rico, do they initiate you when you win your first race? Do they throw water and baking powder and everything
like
that?
Water, everything they have. They this is a you know they do that every time somebody wins his first race.
And did you win easy or was it photo finish?
No, that was a photo finish. Yeah.
Oh wow.
No, that was close, I guess.
Manny, I remember my first race I won, and it was a photo finish. It was so tight. I didn't know that I won because I'd only won one race. I didn't know.
you ride horses before?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Oh, I don't even know.
I'm retired now, so it's a little bit easier job I'm doing now, interviewing you here on the radio. It's a bit safer.
Yeah.
But I remember, so was it hard for you at such an early stage in your career? Did you know that you won that race? It's hard to judge sometimes when you're new.
Yeah, well, what you mean in Puerto Rico?
When you won your first race, yeah.
Yeah, that day I knew because no was so close, but I know that I win, you know.
Did your parents watch you win that race?
Yeah, they was in the track that day. Everybody, all my family was there that day.
So I'm guessing, Manny, that when you decided to come here to the United States, that was a tough decision to leave your family.
Yeah, man. When I decided to come here, my mom, in the beginning when I started the school, she don't want me to be a jockey because she know that, you know, it's hard, you know, it's dangerous sport. But I love it, so that's what I want to do. And she understand up after. But what's hard when I left my mom in Puerto Rico? Because my dad is here with me, but my mom is in Puerto Rico. So what's hard in the beginning, but she understand now. She's good.
So your dad is here with you?
Yeah, he's here with me. Yeah.
So did he move with you in the very beginning?
Yeah, in the... You know, when I came here the first time, he doesn't come. But then, after like a month when I came, so he come to see how I live in here, where I was and everything. And then he came back to Puerto Rico, but then he came to stay here, and he's still here with me.
So he wants to watch out for you.
Yeah.
Well, and tell us, Manny, I haven't even asked you yet. How old are you?
I'm 23. Yeah.
So when you started, you were very young. 18?
Yeah, I was 18. When I started in the jockey school, I was 16 years old. And when I graduated, so 18.
Very young.
Yeah.
And again, when you made that decision to move to the United States, what brought you here? What made you decide to do that?
Sorry, I can't understand you, what you say.
What made you decide to come here to the States?
Man, I tell you the truth. I know when I came because, you know, we are, like, I was in Puerto Rico, so I was winning too. So that was the decision of my dad, you know. He wanted me to come to here, and that's why I came here.
So your dad encouraged you?
Yeah, my dad encouraged me. You know, I was in Puerto Rico winning races, and I never expect to come to here after I graduated because I was doing good, but I don't, you know, I was like, I don't, you know, he want me to do better. That's why I encouraged to come here.
Well, I'm sure there's the money's a lot better here, I'm guessing, than in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, a lot better.
A lot better, right?
Yeah.
Did you Did you start off riding direct? Did you go directly to New York?
No, I was in park racing. I ride my first race in park, Philadelphia Park. Mm-hmm. But then I jumped to New York because I have my agent already.
I rode at parks for a little bit, Manny, and
I did,
and so you only stayed there for you won one race there, you said, and you left.
No, I don't win there.
Okay.
I was there like for 2 weeks, and then I jumped to New York because I was waiting for Jose had the buck that year that I came. He had the buck in New York, Jose Ortiz, so. My agent want me to, when he lose, he was close to lose the buck boy, and my agent was waiting for that, and then when he lose the buck, I come to New York. It was much better.
Yeah, that's a smart decision. Wait till he loses the buck, because you pick up his business, the business he had with the buck, of course.
That's what I mean.
And so was that in the wintertime, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that was in the winter time. That was in March.
So in March in New York, I'm guessing it's a little bit colder than in Puerto Rico. How did you adjust to that?
Man, in the beginning was hard, man, because I never rode on a place in the cold weather, but you adapted after that, you know.
It was tough, right? That's not fun.
Yeah, it was tough.
I know. That's something I don't miss is riding in the cold weather. That's that's brutal sometimes.
Me neither, but yeah, but when you like it, you just do it.
When you win, you stay warm, right?
Yeah.
What would you do though? Would you layer up? I mean, obviously, you can't be too heavy. So you can't wear too many clothes, and what I've found, it was always my hands and my feet that would get really cold. So how would you deal with that when you were riding?
Can you tell me again the question?
How would you deal with that cold weather? Like, would you put extra pair of gloves on? How would you...
Oh, yeah, I put a lot of clothes on me because... I got to put my shirt, my, like, gloves, socks, everything. It's different. In Puerto Rico, it's warm, so you don't have to wear so many clothes.
How cold does it get there?
In New York?
No, in Puerto Rico.
Man, it's like 90 degrees. You know?
Big difference.
Yeah.
So, Manny, when you first arrived in New York, it's cold, so you have to deal with that. Did you find success immediately?
Yeah, I did good as a ball boy. My agent in that time was Mike Gonzalez. It was hard for me, and we did good.
Did you have to get used to the American style of riding? Was it any different here than riding in Puerto Rico?
No, yeah, I had to adapt, you know, the style here. Like, it's a lot different than Puerto Rico.
How different?
Like in Puerto Rico, they run in the middle of the track. They don't say so much ground, and here is the difference, you know, a lot different. You have to stay down, make the turns. You have to, it's a lot different here.
And who helped you with that? Was there anyone in the jocks room that helped you out?
Yeah, the Ortiz brother, I'm staying with them in that time because I know them from the school. So when I came to New York, they helped me a lot, you know. I'm staying in their home. So every time I ride, when we get back to home, we watch the replay and everything, and they help me.
Yeah, they would be good mentors to have for sure. Did they work with you on the equisizer at all?
Yes.
And how many do you do that every day still? Get on the equisizer?
When I was a bubble, I want to be on the equisizer every day. But now, not much.
Now, no more. You don't have to worry about it so much, right?
Yeah.
What advice did they give you?
And, like, they told me every day, you got to work hard, you know, like, get on the morning and, you know, even if you don't work, if you don't have to work, go in the morning, say hi, you know, the relationship with the people, all that stuff, they, you know.
Who taught you how to hit a horse left-handed so well? I love, you're so good at that. I think that's, I really respect that. I think that's great how you immediately go to the left-handed stick. I think that gets a lot of run out of horses. So who taught you that?
Yeah. Man, I tell you the truth, nobody. When I was in the school, because I'm a right-hander, you know, and I always have my way in the left hand. And that's why all the time I hit in the left hand in the school, left hand. And I think that was the key. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely works, Manny. Well, hey, let's take a quick commercial break. Folks, stay with us. You are listening to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too, and I thank you.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
And they're into the stretch, and Diversify has been put to the whip. The main threats are coming. Mendelssohn and Thunderstow and Discreet Image is trying to on the far outside. They're into the final furlong. Thunderstow has taken the lead. Discreet Image is coming. Mendelssohn is on the inside. Diversify is given way. Here comes the finish. It is going to be a photo finish. And I think it was Discreet Lover. Manny Franco waves his whip in victory. Thunderstow is right there on the wire too. The final time was 1 minute 59.99 seconds in the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigle, and I am joined tonight by jockey Manny Franco. Manny, we just heard the replay of that victory aboard Discreet Lover in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Paid $93 to win. You beat the heavy favorite Diversify, and has to bring a smile to your face to hear that.
Man, I just hit it. I'm smiling again.
Well, as we heard the announcer say, you raised your stick in victory. You knew you had it. And we talked about the connections briefly earlier in the show. But I would assume it had to be so nice to win for Uriah St. Louis and his connections and, you know, to get him to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I think they deserve it. They are nice guy, nice people. They work so hard, so I'm very happy to win for, you know, small people. I think they deserve it too.
Yeah, they definitely do. And hey, I'll be seeing you at Churchill Downs in November. So looking forward to that, Manny. And you rode in the Breeders' Cup before, and I want to talk a minute about this horse, Catholic Boy. You rode him to a fourth place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. I believe wasn't it 2017, I think?
Yes, 2017.
And turns out he preferred the dirt. So what was he like to ride? And just tell us about your trip to the Breeders' Cup with him.
And I got on the horse one morning in Saratoga. I rode him on the turf. And they told me that I'm going to ride him with anticipation, something like that, stay in Saratoga. And he won that day, too, in Saratoga. So then they decided to run in the Renton, I think, that the race we won. So he's a, you know, he's a nice horse. He kind of run the dirt on the turf. And he's one of the good one that I've been ride, you know, in my short career, you know.
Was that your first trip to the Breeders' Cup with that horse?
No, I went to the Breeders' Cup in 2016 with Christophe Clement with a 2-year filly. And the same year I was supposed to ride Joking, and he was scratched from that race that day.
So, and that was in 2015?
16.
2016.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, Manny, that you started riding in 2013. In 2016, you're going to the Breeders' Cup. In 2015, you won two graded stakes. You won your first in the Dr. James Penny Memorial Handicap with Coffee Click. It must have seemed like a whirlwind to you. It happened so fast.
Right. To have that opportunity early, you know, in my career, I just tried to, you know, do good and try to win, you know, and work out.
What was it like for you? You mentioned you rode for Christophe Clement in the Breeders' Cup in 2016. What was it like for you to be on the big stage for the very first time?
Man, it was, you know, like, thankful and you know, proud of myself. You know?
And like I said, hopefully we'll see you in the winner's circle here in November in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So we'll be wishing you luck with that, Manny. And let's talk about a few of your other big mounts you've had, your big victories you've had over the years. Who's your favorite horse? In your mind, who's the best you've ever ridden?
Joking.
Joking.
Yeah. So he's a nice horse, man. He became a good horse because he was running for claiming, and then he started, you know, winning races and everything. He took me to the Breeders' Cup. Just he can, you know, make the race, but he went to the Breeders' Cup. And I won like, I think that was one great one and one great two with him in Belmont.
Yeah, you actually won your very first Grade One with joking in the 2016 Vosburgh, and prior to that, you won the Grade Two True North with joking.
Yeah,
so
right.
I can understand why he has a special place in your heart. He gave you your very first Grade One.
Yep.
But then you had your second Grade One a week later with Yellow Agate in the Frisette.
Yep, that's definitely from Christophe, and she took me to the Breeders' Cup too.
And she's so a special
player. That was unbelievable week, and I win one state, two grade ones these 2 weeks, you know.
And since you mentioned joking was your favorite, what's he like to ride?
What do you mean?
Like his running style. Like is he push button? Is he tough to rate? Is he what does he like to ride?
No, he just because he runs short distance, so he don't have much speed early, so they run away from me always, and he stay in the back. And when I ask him to run, he always was there for me, and he was a push button, like. You asking and he there, you know.
So many of your great victories, Manny, have come from off the pace, actually. And would you say, is that more of a rush you get when you close with the kick, when you come from off the pace and you make that one big run? Is that more of a thrill for you?
Yeah, I like that style better, like. You stay back, and when you have the horn and he responded to you, I think that's it's a pretty light feeling. I like it that way.
Would you say that's your riding style? You're more of a patient rider?
Yeah, I think I'm more a patient rider. Like I say, stay back and come front of the pace. I like that way better. But sometimes you can do that because you gotta, you know, you gotta do what the horse likes to do.
So. Right, you can't change their running style.
No, that's what I mean. You can change their running style.
Now, I was watching several of your replays, Manny, before the show air, and I want to talk about the 2015 Wither Stakes. Now that we're on the topic of coming from off the pace, you were aboard a horse far from over, and it was a very thrilling race to watch because far from over stumbled at the start, trailed. You weren't even in the picture at the 3/8 pole.
Yeah, man, that was an unbelievable race too. I never think I was gonna win after that. In one point of the race, I was thinking to pull off him because I don't feel the horse like give me all, you know, after that. But then, by the half of my pole, I start, you know, asking a lot to him, you know, to give me everything. And he started running, so I said, so I have to ride him now. And he just won an unbelievable race.
Good thing you didn't pull him up, right?
Yeah, good thing I don't do it, you know.
Yeah, that was a pretty pretty incredible race. You beat the heavy favorite that day, Al Kaber. He was 1-2, and yeah, lit up the board again that day, Manny. That was a very impressive, aggressive ride, as you mentioned. I mean, you had to really get after that horse and really ask him for everything, pretty much every step of the way, it looked like. So, sure, that was an exhausting horse to ride.
Yeah, he was, like a lazy horse, but he gave it to you, you know. Like, you got to ride him to get going, and he gave it to you.
Jockey Manny Franco joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Let's talk about a couple other horses here, Manny. How about World Approval?
Oh, that was, one of my, you know, it's a good horse, that one. Old horse, and I was the privilege to ride him.
Of course, you won the 2017 four-star, grade one four-star, Dave. Aboard World Approval on the grass. And let's talk about that for a second, Manny. The differences between riding on the grass and the dirt. What, to you, in your own words, what are the biggest differences as a rider?
In the grass, you gotta, you know, ride a little bit more tight than on the dirt. And, you know, way a little longer, too. To my move.
So you find you have to be even more patient on the grass.
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit more patient on the grass.
And obviously, everyone's closer together. Everyone rides tight on the grass, so it can be tough to get a good trip, and that's what's so important, right?
Yeah, it's so important too. When you got the best horse, you gotta, you know, find your way out or you know, try to make the trip.
Which do you prefer, riding on the grass or the dirt?
I like the grass.
You like the grass better, even though it's tougher, you like it better?
Yeah, I like it better because I never, you know, in Puerto Rico they don't teach you to ride on the grass, and when you get here and you have grass, you gotta, you know, get it, you know, you gotta learn because they have a lot of races on the grass. And when I start riding the grass, I love it. They do too. I like that feeling that you ride tight, and when you have horse and you came out and the horse gave it to you, I kind of like that feeling.
Well, so that's interesting, Manny. I did not know that they didn't really have any grass racing in Puerto Rico. So when you moved here to the States and you're riding in New York, you basically had to learn from scratch as far as riding on the grass.
Yep, you're right. You gotta learn because they don't teach you that in Puerto Rico. So.
Did the Ortiz brothers help you out with that?
Yeah, they did too. They teach me a lot. Like I say, when I was living with them when I get here in New York, so they teach me everything. So, and I just, you know, I learn a lot from them.
Well, let's talk about, you mentioned earlier in the show you were riding at Parks, and then your agent at the time, Mike Gonzalez, brought you to New York. Well, and you've since had to switch agents, and now you're represented by the great Angel Cordero.
Yep.
And I can only assume that it has to be pretty incredible having someone so talented, someone so great as Angel Cordero as your agent. Does he teach you? Does he help you out?
Man, that's my you know, this is my teacher right now. And I every time I do something wrong, even something right, he always has something to say to me, and I think that helped me a lot too, right where I am right now, because I got him in my, you know, my corner, and he's my mentor, you know.
Angel Cordero, of course, also represents Johnny Velasquez. Does Johnny help you out?
Yeah, he did too. I mean, when we are in the jockey room and he says something to me, I just heard him and, you know, try to learn because I'm learning from the best.
You definitely are, Manny, and Who do you look up to the most as far as when you're watching a race? Who do you like to watch? Who do you learn from the most out of the names we just mentioned? Who do you admire the most?
And I like the Joel Rosario style. I see him a lot on the race. I like the way he rides, the way he got a lot of patience on the horses. He don't like to hit the horses much. I'm trying to, you know, build something like him, you know.
I love it. Have you had to worry about, I know different states have that new rule out where you can only hit a horse 3 times in a row and then you have to push. Have you had to worry about that at all, Manny?
Not at all, but sometimes they don't like it when you hit the horse much. They claim you to let you know and everything. You don't wanna get them mad. So they are the steward. So I'm trying to don't hit the horse much.
Right, and it's really just to startle the horse and to get their attention, obviously. And like you said, you don't want to make the stewards mad, right, Manny?
No.
You don't want to do that. Juggy Manny Franco joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Manny, if you could go back in time to the very beginning, and would you change anything about your career? Would you change anything about the way you started?
Yeah, I think I changed a lot because, I mean, the Angel, my agent, teach me a lot how I have to sit on the horses, how to put my feet in the irons. Before, I just, I just want to ride and do everything like I learned, but that's not the way. When I get here, Angel, he teach me how to do it. And I think that's the key right now.
So we haven't talked about something yet, Manny, but I want to ask you, your weight, is that hard for you to maintain such a low weight?
No, thank God, I don't have problem with my weight. I'm light, so I don't have much problem with my weight. I can eat everything I want.
Really?
Yeah.
It was not easy for me, so I'm jealous, Manny. I'm jealous of you. I remember when I rode my friend. She used to ride with me, and she would bring a big sandwich in the jocks room, and I just hated her sometimes. It drove me nuts.
I know how you feel.
Not fun, right? What no. Do you try to eat healthy at least to maintain just that nutrition?
Yeah, I mean, but like I say, I eat a lot, I eat everything. But I'm trying to eat healthy, like you say. And my weight is good.
What about fitness? Do you do anything other than riding? Obviously, you're riding constantly. You're riding every race every day and working horses in the morning. Do you find that you have to do anything else? Do you run or do you lift weights? Or
sometimes I run, but not really. No, not lately.
Like I said, you're pretty busy as it is, so.
Yeah.
You're already in peak physical shape, so.
Yeah.
But obviously when you get injured, however, you have to really work hard at getting back to being in such great physical shape. Now, you have had a couple pretty scary spills, I should say, and I remember reading about one in particular. I think 4 horses trampled you. I think it was at Saratoga.
Yeah. What the name you say?
No, I just said I remember you had a pretty nasty spill I think it was a couple years ago. I believe, you know, several horses trampled you. I remember watching it.
Yeah, I think that was in 2015.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had any broken bones?
Not really. I just was my arm like bruised, like a little bit of pain, but not bad. I was off for a week, but I was good.
That's good.
Just bruised, you know.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Any other injuries?
No, thank God, I don't have any injuries.
Thank God, that's amazing, Manny. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous sport, so that is very good, as you said. Thank God you haven't had to worry about that.
No.
But you have had to deal with the highs and lows of the sport. You said your weight's pretty good, so you don't have to worry about that. But I'm sure, you know, certain times you've been frustrated. I remember watching you win the Jerome Stakes with Frenzy Fire, and then you didn't even get to ride the horse in the Derby. So was that frustrating for you?
Yeah, sometimes you know, when you see the horse that he's going to run and you don't on the horse, you say, man, but you get frustrated, like you say. But then you know, they are the owners, you know, on the horse, you got to do what they want to do, you know. If they want you on the horse, they want you. No. Angel, you know, teach me that a lot better, you know, now. Because that happened to me a lot, you know.
It's frustrating, right?
Yeah, it's frustrating. But what are we going to do?
That's right. So what did Angel tell you to, how did he tell you to deal with it, though?
Like I say, he say, I'm trying to get by on the horse, but sometimes they don't, you know, they see the owners, you know, they are the owners, so they're gonna do what they wanna do, you know. So I understand, you know, that part. I'm pretty, I understand.
Is that the hardest part for you? As far as the nature of the game, your profession, is that the hardest thing to deal with?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing. Yeah, because one day you won a big race with a horse, and then when he's gonna run another big race, you know on the horse, so you get mad.
Understandably so. Manny, we only have like 2 minutes left. So I want to end on a fun note here. And speaking of, what do you do for fun? When you're not riding, what do you do for fun?
Man, I have a daughter now. I just, you know, I'm with my daughter all the time, home, with my girlfriend.
That's amazing, Manny. What's your daughter's name?
Valentina.
Valentina. I love it. And how old is she?
She's 9 months.
9 months.
Yeah.
What would you do if in, you know, 16, 17 years from now, she says, Daddy, I want to be a jockey? What would you say?
I don't know. I'd probably say no. I don't want to, you know.
Understandable, Manny. Understandable. 1 minute left. What are your future goals?
Man, I wish I can win the Kentucky Derby.
To win the Kentucky Derby. I think that's every jockey's goal, probably, right? That's the big one.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Do you think you'll stay in New York forever?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. It's a place to be, right?
I don't want to live here. Yeah.
Place to be. Manny, you have a lot to look forward to. Any other horses you think you'll be riding in the Breeders' Cup?
I won the horse in the same day of this Spring Lover. I won 40 under.
Oh, yeah.
The Pilgrim, I think. And I think he's going to. And I have a couple more that they're going to run this coming week. And And then if they run good, I think they're going to go. I have a good feeling from Ralph Nick that she won first time out with me. She's going to run in the... I forget the name of the state, but this coming week. I mean, she won. She's going for the biggest country.
Well, we will be watching, Manny, and cheering you on. Unfortunately, we're all out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you for having me.
Wishing Manny Franco all the best. Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Della Pina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.